brothers and sisters. Love hearing the preaching. And when I'm away from it, I miss it. So I am thankful to be back here. I'm thankful that it's warm in here because it is
beautiful.
A little chilly outside. I like the cold weather, but good grief. I was talking with Brother Ralph this morning. He was talking about weather in Maine when he lived there. He was talking about negative 60. Nope, that's too north for me. I like the winter, but that's too winterish for me even. So I'm thankful for the heat. Thankful that we got some people getting better. I know we've been battling sickness, but it's awesome to be here. I'm thankful to be here with everybody this morning. Before we get started, I'm going to ask, let's see here. Brother Jim Bush from the back, would you lift up your voice and open the service for a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the safety getting here, Lord. Thank you for feeling better, Lord, and other people, Lord. We pray for them that can't be here because they're still sick, Lord. We pray that they heal them, Lord. Touch their bodies, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we just thank you for the service, Lord, that we can get here, Lord, and whether we can hear your word, Lord. Lord, just bless the pastor, Lord. Give him words to say, Lord. The wisdom to speak, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for these things, Lord, and for your grace and your mercy, Lord. Lord, just open up our hearts today, Lord, and make them tender to your word, Lord, that we may learn, Lord, and walk out of here, Lord, and tell the world, Lord, about Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. Lord, which is their only hope, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for them, Lord, and Lord, that we can just tell them and bring them in, Lord, and show them the way of eternal life, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for these things now, Lord. And Lord, we just have your blessing upon us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you would, for our first song, if you're able, that's it. Please stand with me. We're going to sing page 414. Trust and obey. I've been getting a lesson on this. A lot of stuff going on in life, and the Lord just reminded me, just trust me, obey me, and I'll take care of you.
He abides with us.
to turn over with me to page 624. Count your blessings. This is something I've been trying to do. Like I said, there's been a lot going on, and the devil wants me to concentrate on my trials and my tribulations. And me and my wife have been talking, and we've realized even though there's a bunch going on, we are sure blessed.
Come on.
We got the Word of God. We have I have a great wife. I got a great little puppy at home. We have a place to sleep, even though we're dealing with some craziness at the house right now. But we got a great church family. We got a loving family. My in-laws. We have love all around us, and there are just so many blessings. The fact that I'm on my way to heaven is all I'll ever need. So, in the midst of all the trials, I'm thankful that there are just numerous, countless blessings to count. So, let's sing 624.
Sunday the 30th, Lord willing, we'll have a dinner together. Everybody here will get together. We'll just bring some food in, have a little potluck dinner, enjoy some time of fellowship, and celebrate the anniversary of the church along with having Brother Lee with us that Sunday morning. Also, just be careful over there. We'll set some chairs aside. radiators leaking over there, so just be careful if anybody goes on that side over there to not deal with that over there. So, amen.
Stand with me as we're going to sing our final song this morning. Page 515, Near the Cross.
Detour. We'll get back, Lord willing, to the book of Romans here next week. I wanted to preach this message in the first week of January, but then with all the sicknesses and everything happening, kind of got put off. I want to look at something this morning. I don't know how long it's going to be. It could be a very short message,
But I think it's a very needful one in the sense of fixing our eyesights for this new year that we're facing. Those who may be watching live stream, Brother Chris just mentioned a man by the name of John. Was it John Vassell? He used to come to the church. He's been talking with him and just others. We don't know what this year has to hold for us. But what we know is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have his word, and we have the Bible, and we have salvation if we're saved. And we have a walk with him. And I want to look at something this morning that hopefully will stir our hearts and maybe be the vision and our outlook for this coming year, and not just for this coming year, but for the rest of our lives. If you take your Bible, look at Revelation, the book of Revelation in chapter number 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 1. Revelation 2:1, the Lord writing, or using John to write to these seven churches, and the first church that he writes to is the church of Ephesus, and the Bible says in Revelation 2, verse 1, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Those seven golden candlesticks and seven stars are the angels and the seven churches. And he says in verse number 2, he says, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." And that candlestick is the church, right? The seven stars are the angels of these churches, and the Lord says here, he says to them, he says, "Repent, or I'll remove thy candlestick out of his place." And the Bible says in verse 6, "But this thou hast, that thou hast hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which also I hate." Verse 7, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for another opportunity this morning, Lord, to gather. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for this building, dear God. Thank you for the heat that we have. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the cross of Calvary. Thank you for the blood that you shed on that cross. And Lord, I ask just for your help now this morning, Lord. Help me know what to say, dear God. And just lead, God, and direct that you will be glorified, honored, and praised in it. Lord, I don't know how to go out or come in, so I pray and I ask for your help right now, dear God. Lord, just to give us what we need. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The thought of my heart here is somewhat of a concern and fearful in a sense that he says in chapter 2, verse 1 to this church of Ephesus, he says, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." One thing you'll find as the Lord writes these letters to these seven churches, all seven churches, the Lord says, "I know thy works." All seven churches have some type of work that they're doing that the Lord acknowledges and sees that they're doing something. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 2 here, the Lord says, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience." Those are some good things. And then he also goes on to say that not only are they working and they're laboring for the Lord and they have patience in this work and labor, but they also can't bear them which are evil. They say things, they call out those things that are evil and are trying to do right. They try those which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. They're calling out false brethren to false gospels, false teachers, which is good and right to do. But the Lord says to them, He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. He says, though you're doing all these good things or appear to be good things, you're working, you're laboring, you have patience, you hate those that are doing evil, you're calling out false apostles, but you've left something off. And you know, one thing I see today, and I said it during the Sunday school hour, and I think it is to the detriment of the church, is technology. I think there's some blessings in technology, but I think for the most part, it's a curse. I don't think it does good. I think a lot of it causes more problems than it is a help. And you'll understand what I'm saying this morning. Listen, live stream is good, but if you're using it just to stay home because you don't want to come to church, that's not good. I don't know how many times I thought about, you know what, no live stream. I ain't doing live stream. You want to come to church? Come to church. But I understand that there are some sick, and there's a blessing for that if you're sick to be able to stay home and watch church. But if you're not sick, you need to be in church. I said it during the Sunday school hour, and I believe this, that there's a local church for everyone, and you need to be there to your local church. Wherever it may be, you need to get there. Forget the job, forget the home, forget the family. Understand what I'm saying? Church. You say, well, preacher, I'm working, I'm laboring, I'm doing these things for God, but have you forgot the first love? See, this thing here this morning, and I'm not preaching to you, I was preaching to myself when I'm writing this thing, and I was like, Lord, help me with this. God, help me with this. You see, we got a lot of talk, we've got a lot of chatter, but I don't think we have a lot of love to the Savior. I told my wife, I said, listen, do not tell me anything else you might see or learn on the computer. I don't want to hear it because it gets me mad. It gets me mad. I don't have social media. I don't want social media, especially as a preacher. I don't want it. And we're going to look at it tonight some more. And these things of you got these internet preachers. I said at Sunday school, they're not pastors. There's these men who want a pulpit. They want a voice. And the devil have given it to them in YouTube and all this, and they can just put a sermon on there, 15, 20 minutes, and people follow along with it like it's doctrine. They do a 15, 20 minute Bible study, something that may take 2 years to go over. One of them is replacement theology, and we're going to go through it again this evening. You cannot look at this thing with the rapture and get it done in 15 minutes and be like, okay, here it is, and we're on our way. Brethren, it takes hours and hours and hours of study, and to do an exhaustive study on it would take months to look at all the scripture has to say concerning a word that doesn't occur in the Bible. But it's in the Bible. The principle is there. I wonder what the Lord would do if God could find a few men and women that will spend as much time in prayer as they do on their phone. What God could do. There's a lot of churches out there, independent Baptist churches, that are big. They got a lot of people. But is there power? Is there power? Is there power in their life to change lives, not just have a form of godliness, but a walk with God, to where when you prayed, the Lord moved? You see this church here at Ephesus, the Lord calling them out. He says, listen, I know your work, I know your labor, I know the exertion you're putting in, the weariness and the tiresome it comes from you laboring for me. Your patience, your perseverance and consistency in your labor or exertion. And that you haven't fainted, you haven't become feeble. You haven't failed in strength or vigor in your work for me. But the Lord said in verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. The Lord takes this serious about leaving the first love, so serious that he says in verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. Jesus Christ says, I see you're working, you're laboring, you're doing everything, but my question to you this morning is God telling you to do it? That's a very important question. Is the Lord telling you to do it, or are you just doing it because you think that's what the Lord wants you to do? There's a difference between the two of them. I want to be in the Lord's will and Him telling me what to do, not me doing what I think the Lord wants me to do. There's a difference between the two of them. What is God telling you to do? And you know what that takes? That takes a walk with Him. That takes a relationship. That takes communion with one another. That takes fellowship with one another. That takes walking together with one another. For when the Lord says talk, we talk. When the Lord says be quiet, we be quiet. When the Lord says do this, we do that. To be in His will takes a walk with Him. It takes a love for Him. You see, these Christians here at Ephesus are very busy. Yet the Lord had somewhat against them. Their service seems to be maybe cold and calculating and strict to the letter, but is missing the gentleness, softness, and love to their Savior. The Lord says to him, because thou hast left thy first love. The first love. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you left off your love towards the Savior? Do you love the Lord like you loved Him when you got saved? When I got saved, it was like the lights came on from darkness to light. It was like everything became new. I couldn't even explain it. The Word of God became alive to me. The hymns became alive to me. My walk with God was now alive. And there was a love there I had to whatever the Lord wanted. I just wanted the Lord Jesus Christ. I just wanted Him. I wanted to spend time with Him. I wanted to be in my Bible. I wanted to be in time of prayer. I wanted to be in church. That is all I wanted at that moment when I got saved was Jesus Christ. What are the first works? He says, you've left your first love. And he says in verse 5, he says, you left your first love. And he says, I want you to do something in verse 5. He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Let me ask you a question this morning. Was there one time in your Christian walk where you're up here and you were just walking with God and you had fellowship with Him and you were loving Him and He's loving you and you're having a fellowship together, but now you're kind of down here and things have kind of waxed cold? Have you fallen from where you used to be, and do you desire to get back to where you used to be? The Lord says here, He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. Don't let it just be something that enters into the mind and heart and says, yes, I'd like to get back to where I used to be with the Lord, and it just be mere words. The Lord says, and do. He says, do something. He says, do thy first works. Put it into action. Put it into action. Words are worthless without action. I can tell individuals that I love them, but my love to them then needs to be backed by my actions towards them. I love you is fine. That's good to say to one another, I love you. But then there ought to be actions behind that love, not just mere words. Well, Jesus loves you. Well, how is the world going to see that Jesus loves them? Through your love towards them. Through your actions. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, when you love one another. And when you have a love to God's word, because thou hast left thy first love, you're fallen. Take your Bible, look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 4. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 4. Now I know this verse has to deal with, I believe, those trying to be justified by the law. But I want to look at it in a spiritual sense. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. The Bible says here, Paul says to the Galatian church, he says, listen, Christ is no effect. There's no effect with Christ Jesus, whoever desires to be justified by the law. You can't be justified by the law. You can't be justified by the letter. It's impossible to be able to keep that. And if you're trying to keep that, you've made Christ of no effect. You see, a Christian ought to be affected by his walk with his Savior. Too many Christians today, I believe, live to the letter of the law and not to the Spirit. There's a checklist, and if people don't meet that checklist of how they should dress or how they should act or how they should speak, then we bring condemnation against them rather than showing grace and mercy and help. Too many Baptists today are too quick to condemn rather than show grace and mercy. Now, I'm not saying to make an excuse for sin. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm not talking about compromise. I'm talking about grace. Look what the Bible says. Galatians 5:4. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by law, look what he says, ye are fallen from grace. Remember thy first works. Remember from where you have fallen. Have you become cold and bitter and angry when once you used to have grace, mercy, and love? Have you fallen from the grace that you used to have? The word grace means favor, kindness, disposition to oblige another. I'm not talking about falling from grace to where you lost your salvation. I'm talking about falling from grace that you might have had or used to have in your life. I'm glad this morning, brethren, that Jesus Christ has grace with me. I'm glad this morning that Jesus Christ has mercy with me. I'm glad this morning that Jesus Christ is long-suffering to me, is forbearing to me, that he puts up with me and allows me to grow in him. Fallen from grace. Next, take your Bible, look over at Jude chapter 20. The book of Jude in chapter 20. Remember thy first love. Thy first love. Jesus Christ, if you're saved this year, he wants you to have a walk with him. He wants you to love him. He wants to have fellowship with you. And I believe that's why the Lord created mankind from the Garden of Eden. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit desires and I believe delights in to have a walk with his creature, mankind. I believe Jesus Christ delights in having fellowship with his bride. Think about this. What kind of marriage do you have if you have no fellowship with one another? It's a picture of Christ and the church. Just as we ought to desire to be with the one that we love, if we're married, the one that we married, and we desire to be together because we love one another and want to spend time together. We love the fellowship with one another. We love the communion with one another. And that is the marriage we see here in the physical realm is a picture of what the Lord desires in the spiritual realm. A fellowship, a communion, a walk, a talking with one another, a spending time with one another, a love for one another. Look at Jude verse 20. Jude 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and on others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Have you left off praying in the Holy Ghost? I'm not going Pentecostal on you. It's Bible. This isn't charismatic stuff. I think a lot of Baptists get scared by it, praying in the Holy Ghost. So you're going care. That's Bible. Jude just said, he said, in verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Well, how do you build up yourselves on your most holy faith? By praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You see, when we pray, is it the Lord working through us in our prayer unto him? Or is it just some words that we're saying just to get the prayer done? The Bible says praying in the Holy Ghost. Take your Bible. Look over at Romans chapter 8. Verse 1, praying in the Holy Ghost. The first love. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what Jude said, the book of Jude. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're building up your most holy faith. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How do you pray in the Holy Ghost? You walk after the Spirit. Well, how do you walk after the Spirit? Verse 5, for they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? How do you pray in the Holy Ghost? You don't walk after the mind of the flesh, but after the mind of the Spirit. You say, well, preacher, how do I find the mind of the Spirit? In the Scriptures, and a walk with God. Verse 6, this is where a lot of Christians fall short. For to be carnally minded is what? It's death. I guarantee you, if you're in a carnal mind, you're not loving Jesus like you ought to, and you've fallen. You've fallen from your first love. Carnally minded. This is a hard one here. Looking through the eyes of carnality in a carnal mind rather than through the eyes of the spiritual mind and heart and the Holy Ghost. You know why sometimes the Lord might make us sick? Because he misses talking with us. You know why the Lord might just lay you out one time? I mean, lay you out. Say, Lord, why are you letting this happen? Why am I laid out? Why can't? Because I miss talking with you. You've been so busy, we haven't had time with one another. That's why a lot of homes end up in divorce, because both get too busy and they don't spend the time together like they used to. Remember thy first love, praying in the Holy Ghost. Verse number 7 in Romans 8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so that they that are in the flesh, they cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, verse 10, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you led by the Spirit of God this morning? Are you led by the Spirit of God? If you're led by the Spirit of God, you can then pray in the Holy Ghost. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I know thy works, I know thy labors, I know you hate them that do evil, I know you've proven those that weren't apostles, but are you crying unto me, Abba, Father? Do you see what the Lord's trying to get across this morning? I believe is a cry out to God as Abba, Father, not just some cold, rehearsed type of prayer. I've heard brethren before say that they're afraid to pray in church because they might not be eloquent and say the right things that need to be said. Hogwash on it. If I ask somebody to pray in here at any time as your pastor, it's because the Lord's laid me on your heart. I don't care if you bumble all through that thing. God might just get in and do something. You see, today we're looking for too much formalism and a structure and an outline, and we're missing God. I don't care if you, that some of the best specials I've ever heard sung, the person was off key, but God got all in it because their heart was right. And they just wanted to glorify God, and there was no pride in them. They came up humbly, their knees were shaking, their voice was cracking, and God moved in the service. Because it wasn't about them, it was about them singing to their Savior. Abba, Father, praying and singing in the Holy Ghost of God. I'm not getting charismatic on you this morning. I'm talking about life through the Savior. And we miss it sometimes with cold, dead religion. We go through the right motions, and God says, I don't want the right motions, I want you. Do you see this morning, brethren? God wants us. He wants us. He doesn't want our labor. Understand what I'm saying? He doesn't want our labor. He's not concerned with our works. Understand what I'm saying? He wants us, because if he has us, everything else will fall into its proper order. My wife just doesn't want me to go through the cold motions of just being her husband. I don't want her just going through the cold motions of just being my wife. I want her. And hopefully she wants me. It's the same thing with Jesus. Jesus is telling the church of Ephesus, I see your work. I see your labor. I see your travail. I've seen that you haven't fainted, but you're missing what I want. I want you and your love towards me. Lord Jesus Christ, he wants us this morning. He wants us. He wants us. He loves us. And he wants us to love him back. Verse 16 in Romans 8, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Does his Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God? Because if it does bear witness with you, verse 17 is all yours. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. You can't even compare them with what God has for you in glory. Jump on down to verse number 26. I said there in Jude, I believe when you have that first love, you're praying in the Holy Ghost. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. He says, but if we hope for that, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit. Look, this is praying in the Holy Ghost. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying with the Spirit. And the Spirit, I don't know about you, brethren, but there's been times in my Christian walk where I didn't even know what to pray. All I could do was just cry out, and God knew my heart because the Spirit was making intercession for me. Praying in the Holy Ghost. If you ever have to pray in public again, be who you are and pray to your God. As your pastor, you can rest assured, I'm not looking for an eloquent prayer. I'm looking for a heartful prayer. I'm not looking just to go through the motions. I'm glad and I'm happy when I see the heart come out in it. You know what I want specials to be for in this church as well? I don't want specials just to be what's done, because then it's not a special. If you have it every week at the same time, it's not a special. It's part of the program. You know what I like about specials? Somebody getting a hold of God and coming up and saying, "Preacher, God just put this on my heart, and I just want to sing it out to him. I just want to sing it out to him." Yeah, that's what I want. God will get all in that thing, hopefully. Do you see the difference between the two? Too many churches today are just going through the program. And they're leaving God on the outside, just like the church of Ephesus. He's knocking on the door on the outside saying, "Hey, can I get into the services here?" If I ever ask you to preach, I'm not looking for an outline. I'm not looking for anything special. I'm just looking for you to get with God and God give you what we need. Do you understand this morning, brethren? We're missing it. We're missing it. And I'm not talking about the church here. I'm just talking about as a whole and all of Christendom. We're missing it. Jesus on the outside looking in. The day I got saved, that man that got up and preached, it was my pastor's cousin. He had just started preaching. He got up there. That man was so nervous. He was messing up as he was reading his Bible. He was bummed. And God was all in that thing dealing with my heart. But then you get preachers up and they got the perfect outline and they're all alliterated and all their T's line up and all their S's line up and all their P's line up. And God ain't nowhere in that thing. We're missing the power of God this morning. We're missing the first love. We got a lot of work. We're doing a lot of labor. We're sending out a lot of missionaries. We're handing out a lot of tracts. We're doing a lot of witnessing. And we left Jesus on the outside saying, "Lord, I got it." No, we ain't got it. We need him. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And then everything else will fall in line. Praying in the Holy Ghost, Jude says. And then he says, showing compassion, a suffering with another, painful sympathy, a sensation of sorrow excited by the distress and misfortunes of others, having a compassion on others. Not just going through the works and just doing what you're supposed to do, but have a compassion and a heart behind what we're doing, a care, and hating the garment spotted in the flesh. Have you put on and do you walk in the new man? Are you desirous of the first love? Jesus loves us this morning, and he desires for us to walk with him. I'm going to close with two scriptures. And I think they're some of the most important scriptures in the entire Bible when it comes to a Christian's walk. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I don't know what this year holds for Ray Street Baptist Church. I got some ideas in my mind of some things that I'd like to do to try to reach the community and be a help to the community and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But these next two things that I'm going to show you are what need to be at the foundation if anything's going to be accomplished in the right for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 10 and look at verse number 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Look what the Bible says here. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She did a good job. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. He says to Martha, he says, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What was that good part? What was that one thing that was needful that Martha was missing? You see, Martha was cumbered about with much serving, but she was missing one thing. And what was that one thing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. Brethren, when you get in on this thing and you try serving the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're going to be misunderstood. People aren't going to understand you. You're going to be misunderstood. The people are going to look at you and say, what are you doing? I don't understand what you're doing. This makes no sense what you're doing. I don't even know if you know where God... You're just not... Look at Mary. She's misunderstood. Martha invited Jesus into her house. That's a good thing to invite Jesus into your house. She was cumbered about much service. Who was she serving? Jesus. That's a good thing. She brings him in the house. She's trying to serve him. She's trying to make everything right for the Savior. But that's not what he wanted. He wanted her to be sitting at his feet, listening to him. You see, that's the one needful thing. The one needful thing was to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear him. You see, sometimes we have our spirituality blinded by the works that we're trying to do. And we think because we're doing that we're spiritual, when in reality we're not spiritual because we're not doing what Jesus wants us to do, and that's to sit still at his feet. Here, Mary is misunderstood because she's not doing. She's not laboring. She's not serving Jesus. And she's looked at, and she's actually... Her sister is asking the Lord to rebuke her. Her brethren are looking at her and saying, Lord, rebuke her because she's not helping me. I'm doing all this work. I'm doing all these things for Jesus, and she's just sitting there not helping me, Jesus. Will you tell her to get up and start helping me try to serve you, Jesus? You see, we need to be careful that we don't look at others and condemn them because they're not doing what we do. Maybe they ought not to be doing what you're doing. And maybe they are doing the thing that is needful, and that's sitting at the feet of Jesus. You see, you can cover up your... A lot of Christians today are covering themselves up as being spiritual because they're doing. But just because you're doing doesn't mean you're spiritual. Well, I've led 15 souls to Christ. I've handed out 50 tracts a week. I go door knocking 5 times a day, and I do this and I do that. Is God telling you to do that, or are you doing it to try to be spiritual? It takes more spirituality to sit still with Jesus than it does to hand out tracts. Do you understand? Get people just to sit still, and you see them all of a sudden, they're like, I got to be doing something. I can't just sit here. No, sit still. Relax. If you sit still, I believe this. My pastor's tried to hammer this in my head for the last 22 years. He said, preacher, I just want to do the will of God. I just want to know the will of God. I just want to do the will of God. If you just wake up every morning and just do what you're supposed to do, before you know it, that thing will open up like a flower and you'll be in the perfect will of God. Just do what you're supposed to do today and everything will just open up for you. A walk with Jesus. So she's misunderstood in this sense. Lastly, take your Bible, look over at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. I heard a preacher one time said, I don't know who said it, it might have been my preacher, I don't know. He said one time, he said, God's more interested in developing your character. God is interested, the Lord Jesus Christ is interested in developing your character. He said this, I don't know what preacher said it, but one of them said it. He said, God might be preparing your whole life for 5 minutes at the end. I know what preacher said, but it's good. God might be preparing you and molding you and making you for just 5 minutes of your life of exactly what he wants you to do in those 5 minutes. Just walk with him. Just walk with him. Just walk with him. Look at John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper. Here we go again. Look. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, which is her glory. She's abasing herself here. She is in the utmost state of humility right here. The Bible says in Corinthians that a woman's hair is her glory. She takes her hair and she wipes his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Can you imagine that? This Mary comes in. Martha, again, she's busy serving Jesus. They're trying to make this supper for him. Mary comes in. She's got this costly box here of ointment, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. And she comes to Jesus and she kneels down at his feet and she breaks that box and that odor of that ointment spreads through a sweet, sweet smell of sacrifice to her Savior. She's there in the utmost of humility, wiping his feet with the hairs of her head, saying she is nothing, he is everything. And in doing so, she is anointing him for his death and burial. Verse 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. How pious does this man sound? How spiritual does this man sound? He's a thief. Verse 5, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Mary again here, she's doing what she is in the perfect will of God, and she's misunderstood again by supposed brother in the Lord saying, what a waste. That was so costly, Mary. Brothers, look at this waste she's doing here. We could have taken that and sold it and given to the poor. Jesus, that's what you would want, Jesus, right? You would want us to help the poor because you love the poor. Jesus says, I want you to love me first. Jesus says, love me first, and then we'll get to the poor. It's all about him. Our Christian walk ought to revolve around consistently our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're not called to be Christians to be humanitarian relief. We're called to be Christians to love the Savior. And a lot of people, and I've got caught up in it sometimes in my early Christian walk of seeing poor kids over in Africa or in Haiti or South America and thinking, I got to get there and I got to help them. No, I've got to do the will of God. I've got to love Him first, not the little kid over there with the extended stomach. I can't be moved by my emotions and my feelings about what I see and then do it because of that. I need to do it because it's the will of God. Does that make sense this morning? I hope these things make sense. Because I believe if you're in the will of God, God does love those little children and will try to get someone to them to help them. But it might not be you. It might be somebody else. Because the Lord might be wanting you to do something different. We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't go off of what we feel, we go off of what does God want us to do. And in this moment, the only individual that appears to be an entire world that has a clue of what's going on with Jesus Christ right now is Mary. Even His 12 disciples aren't getting it. His inner circle, Peter, James, and John, they're not getting it. Here's this woman who's doing exactly what she should be doing, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to His Word. Not just hearing His Word, but taking them in and meditating upon them, dwelling upon them, thinking upon them, hearing what He's saying. Not trying to get in and be the next sitting to Him on His throne like some of His disciples. Mary wanted to love Jesus, and Jesus loved Mary, and she had an inside track on something that nobody else in the entire world had. She was anointing Him for His burial. Nobody else in there had a clue. And again, she's misunderstood. Listen, I'm telling you, brethren, Ray Street Baptist Church, if we strive to do things the way God would have us to do this, we're going to be misunderstood by other brethren. We're going to be misunderstood by other churches. I don't know who told this. Somebody in here told this to me. But what I guess when Brother Pastor Gary tried to start this church, and I might be saying this wrong, but I think, I don't know, Miss Donna, if you told me this or somebody told me this, that somebody told him it couldn't be done the way he was doing it. You can't run a church, and how are you going to be able to pay your finances if you don't take up an offering? 45 years? Church back home, that's one of the things I walked in that church. One of the first things I noticed is like, they didn't pass the plate here. How do you pay for things and do things? Preacher says, oh, there's a box in the back. If you want, you can put something in the back there, but it's back there. And you keep things going. Been going for 35 years down there. Not one time asking for money. Amen. You see, it's not about the money. It's about the first love. You see, because the Lord has your heart, He'll have your pocketbook. Yeah. If the Lord has your heart, your life's not going to revolve around your money, and you're going to want to use it for the kingdom of God. It's that simple. But if your heart's not towards the Lord and He's not your first love, of course you're going to be worried about your pocketbook. You're going to be worried about the cash in your wallet because it's about you and what you got, and it's not about Him. And if you try to do things God's way, you're going to be misunderstood. But I'd rather be misunderstood and have God than be understood and not have Him. I want to see God move this year, brethren. I don't know. The Lord might come back tonight and that'd be just fine with me. We'll all be up in glory and up there in heaven and we'll be celebrating around the throne of God glory. Amen. That'd be no problem with me. But if the Lord should have us tarry through this year, I want to love Him. And as I love Him, as I love Him and walk with Him, I say, Lord, help me to do Your will today. I got some things planned today that I'm going to do, Lord. But Lord, if my plans happen to get upset or diverted, help me not to get angry at it and realize it may be what You're wanting to be done at this very moment. It may sound odd. brother, your car breaking down, or your car breaking down made us more opportunities for Ed. Do you see? I'm not saying you're looking at it that way, brother. I'm not saying, but my first reaction, my car breaks down. My first reaction is, oh, come on. The car won't start. And the Lord's like, hey, I'm trying to do something here. I'm the one that didn't make it start this morning because I'm bringing someone across your path. Miss Kathy's told me a tow truck because I want this man to get a track and a Bible from you. That's why I allowed you to happen what happened to you, because I'm trying to reach this man here and you're the only one in the area in the community right now that I want you to use to reach him. Do you see? God, help me to see it, Lord. I'm preaching to you. Lord, help me to get it. Help me not to complain when things don't go my way and realize it might just be your appointment. Who said the preacher said my disappointment might be his appointment? Lord, use me. And when God uses us, we get mad at him. All they do is use me. Well, hello, isn't that what you prayed? Preacher, a wife told a preacher one time. Or, honey, I don't know why these people use me. She said, every night you pray that God uses you. Look what it says lastly in verse 6. Judas continued to talk. He says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the bag and bare what was put therein. Look at this now. I love verse 7. Glory to God. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Amen. Jesus looks at Judas and he says, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. You see what Jesus is saying? Jesus is telling them, listen, I'm getting ready to go. I'm getting ready to leave out of here. Take advantage of the time you got with me here physically. And Mary's doing that needful thing. Mary is doing that needful thing. Let her alone, because against the day of my burying hath she kept this. What a woman. What a woman that Mary was. Two times in the Bible you find Mary being in the perfect will of God, and in both times she's misunderstood. But she loved Jesus. And so I'm going to end tonight with, or this morning with this. Have you left your first love? Have you left your first love? If you're saved this morning, were you once at one place in your Christian walk, but you've kind of fallen off to where you used to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and your walk with him and your love that you had towards him? And my prayer this morning through this Bible study and this preaching is that we would examine ourselves and ask the Lord, if we have fallen from where we used to be in our love towards him, that God would get us back to where we need to be, loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity this morning. I thank you for these precious brethren. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you, Lord, for these stories of Mary. God, are some of my favorite stories in the Bible. Lord, thank you, dear God, that she just stayed in there with you, though misunderstood by her sister and others. Lord, she sat at your feet. She did that one thing that was needful. She loved you. And Lord, she's recorded down in Scripture through all these ages as the individual that anointed you for your burying. And God, I pray that I would have such a testimony. Lord, I pray this church would have such a testimony. A church, Lord, I pray that it could be said about Ray Street Baptist Church, Lord. I pray that it be said by others that is a church that loves Jesus Christ. Lord, help us if we've fallen. Lord, help us not to get in despair and depressed, but Lord, help us to lift ourselves up. Lord, I pray you'd help lift us up and get us back to where we used to be and our love that we used to have towards you. Lord, help us to walk with you, and we'll glorify you and we'll praise you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, brethren. I'd like to close with a hymn here this morning. If you'd stand, please, hymn number 458. We didn't sing that this morning, right? Page 458. Page number 458. I'd like to close with this hymn this morning. Draw Me Near.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Smith. Lord, we'll see you tonight.